Good morning and welcome back to Nach Yomi. Today we're going to be focusing on Yechezkel Perek Dalet. This is one of the most incredible prokem in all of Nach. Incredible in the sense of not being credible, hard to believe, hard to understand. We hear about three demonstrations that Yechezkel is about to perform. Each of these is a nevuah. They seem like separate things, but they're actually one demonstration. So let's do a quick overview. It's a short perek in terms of psukim, but it has incredible depths. So let's go through. There's the first of three demonstrations is what's called the brick exercise. He is told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to take a levena, which is a brick, and put it in front of him, and he inscribes into the brick the word Yerushalayim. Then, it's almost like he's playing a game. He puts around it a siege, and he makes a dayek, which, you know, it's these war tools against the brick as if it's under it, and there's encampments around it, and it's being under attack. And while doing this, he takes an iron pan and places it in front of his face, looking at the city, between his face and this brick, which represents the city. And v'tzarta aleha oishi leves Yisrael, and it's a sign for Israel. Sign number one. So he's making almost this model war going on against a brick. And he's looking at it with an iron pan in front of his face, looking at the brick. So this is metaphor or demonstration prophecy number one. Demonstration prophecy number two is he's told that he's supposed to lie on his left-hand side and think about the sins of Israel for 390 days. He's supposed to lie on his left side, bearing the sin of Israel. And then, at the end of that, he turns onto his right side for the sins of Avon Beis Yehuda for 40 days, about the 40 years of their sins. And while he's doing this, he's looking at this brick. And he's not going to be able to move. He's going to suffer in this place for this amount of time. That's the second demonstration he does. And the third demonstration relates to bread, a special type of bread. He puts together a bread which is consisted of wheat and barley and lentils and spelt and all these different kinds of sort of hodgepodge, and he places it all together. And while he's lying on his side for these 390 days, he's eating it, but he's eating it in very small measures. He's eating it by mishkol esrim shekel layom. It is 20 shekels a day. Every day, only once a day, he's eating this. And mayim b'mishura tishte, he's drinking water out of a measuring cup, which is shishis a hin, a sixth of a hin. If you actually do the calculation, this is a very small amount of food. This is a very small amount of drink that he's actually having. It's, you know, even if you're using the biggest Babylonian shekel, which is 8 grams, we're talking about, you know, 320 grams of bread a day, and maximum of shishis ahin, maybe 1.8 liters is a shishis ahin. So we're not talking about a lot of sustenance for an entire day for a grown man for this period of time. And this is what he's supposed to do, and he's supposed to bake this cake of barley, which is baked on human excrement. That's the fuel for the fire that this strange bread is burnt over. At this point, Yechezkel is shocked, and he says, "Aha, Hashem Elokim, hinei nafshi lo mitama nefesh utamei etrefo lo yachalti minu rayad ato v'lo boi b'fi b'sar pigul." He says, "HaKadosh Baruch, I'm a Kohen. I've never eaten anything which is even slightly impure. How can you make me eat this?" And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, "Don't worry, you know what? You can cook it over the dung of animals, not human excrement." And this is going to be the sign, "Leman yachzuru lechem v'mayim v'noshamu ish v'achiv v'namaku b'avonam," that Israel is going to sink in their sins. They're going to be eating it. They're going to be eating v'achru lechem v'mishkal v'da'aga. They're going to eat in worry and in measure because of the exile and because of the siege. These are the three demonstrations. You can see Yechezkel is remarkably different from Nevi'im before him. He's not telling Israel anything, he's demonstrating what is going on. These are demonstrating prophecies, but each of these three demonstrations are actually linked, because this brick is what he's facing during the 390 days on his side, and he's eating this strange bread during this period of time. So what are we to make of this? So let's just take a look at each demonstration independently, try to put it all together. So the Gemara in Brachos and Daf Lamed Beis says about the first step, the brick exercise, this whole mashal over here, when he puts the pan in front of his face, the iron pan between his face and the brick, what it is Rabbi Elazar would say, "Miyom shechar of Beis Hamikdash nifsaka chomas barzel Bein Yisrael Avim Sheba Shemayim. Quoting our pasuk, which is the next step of the Gemara, we know that from the day of the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash, it's like we have a iron curtain between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's almost as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not listening to our tefillos. So Yechezkel is metaphorically acting as HaKadosh Baruch Hu, looking at the city, but there's this iron wall, this iron barrier, which is preventing their tefillos from ascending. The Malbim adds a different but extra level to the look at this, at the brick, the Yerushalayim metaphor over here. He points out that actually, if you look at the Pesukim very carefully, there are two sieges. The one siege is the enemies, so the play pretend enemies around this brick, which are representing the real enemies around Yerushalayim. But the second siege is the siege of the face of Yechezkel on Yerushalayim. He's trying to reach Yerushalayim, but there's this iron barrier between him, the prophet, and Yerushalayim. That's to represent that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent prophets to Yerushalayim to reform their actions day in, day out, so many times. And yet, they weren't listening. They were also had a wall up against the Nevi'im and against the enemies. And the Malbim says, only one is going to win. If the prophets break through their siege and Bnei Israel listens, then they'll be saved from the enemies. If they don't listen, they don't let the Nevi'im in, they don't listen to the words of the Nevi'im, then the enemies will win. It's one or the other. It's interesting to note that in this, in contrasting the Malbim and the Gemara over here for a second, if you think about it, the Gemara is talking about how the barrier of the iron is between us, between Hashem and us, meaning to say Hashem is not accepting our tefillahs. According to the Malbim, really it's the other way around. The barrier is between us and Hashem. We're not letting the word of Hashem into our lives. Two very different ways of looking at this. Let's move on to the next metaphor, the next demonstration. Lying on his side. What in the world is going on over here? What is the meaning of lying on his side? Left side, right side, 390 days, 40 days. What is going on over here? So Rashi says a very interesting thing. Rashi says that if you look at the Pesukim, there are numerous Pesukim in this section which indicate that it's about his suffering for the people, meaning they did a lot of bad things, and for all the bad things they do, he is metaphorically or physically suffering for the people for all the bad things they did. So what are the 390 and 40? So Rashi quotes the Seder Olam, which is the Midrash, which dictates the timeline which Rashi uses across all of Tanakh. And he says, the Seder Olam says, that if you count up all the days of Golus in the time of Shoftim, meaning to say you would look at the time that they were under the reign of Kushan-Rishathaim, Eglon, Yavin, you go through all the different bad kings that we got put under because we sinned, if you count up all those tallies, and you tally all the kings of Israel, from Yerovam to his son, to Baasha, all the way through Melachim, all the Melachim of the northern kingdom, it gives up a tally of 391 years. The last year doesn't really count because that was when all of the Samaria or Shomron was under siege, under the rule of Hoshea ben Elah, when Sancheriv or Syria itself was under was besieging all of Shomron. So really it's talking about all the bad times of the northern kingdom of Israel, which is what this is representing, a day for a year. What are the 40 days? Well, if you count, after Sennacherib took the northern kingdom, there were another 40 years of sinning. 22 of Menashe before he reformed his behavior, 2 years of Amon his son, 11 of Yoyakim, where Yirmiyahu talked to him, and 5 of Tzidkiyahu, because this is when he's giving his Nevuah at the beginning of Tzidkiyahu's rule, 5 years in, which is 40 years. So we're talking about the sins of the north, the sins of the south, meaning the sins of all of Israel, 390, the sins of the south afterwards, another 40, and that's what it is. He's representing almost the leader who's suffering for his people because he is bearing the pain of what they should be bearing. That's the one way of looking at this. It is interesting, Rabbi Angel points out on this, that it in the first metaphor, when he was looking at the brick, which he actually is doing while he's lying down, he is representing metaphorically Hashem looking at Yerushalayim. But when he's lying, he's actually representing Klal Yisrael, who are suffering. So he's both the Bnei Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this duel, in this merged mashal, just the way of thinking about it. The Ababanel says this doesn't make sense. The Ababanel goes to Rashi, the Radak, he goes through a few Christian Mefarshim on the Tanakh, and he throws them all out. He says it doesn't make sense. He says it's very simple what's going on over here. Yechezkel heard the first prophecy of the destruction of Yerushalayim, and he was shocked. He was outraged. Hashem, how could you destroy the Beis Hamikdash? Because what Bnei Yisrael did, Hashem says, you know what? You need to take a little bit of time to think about this. Lie down. Do you know, like when a person's had a tough day, go lie down and think. Think about it. Lie down, face the brick on your left side. Your left side is where your heart is. And think about how Golus Mitzrayim came about. How long was Golus Mitzrayim? The Pasuk in Shmos Perek Yud Beis says 430 years. Well, for 430 days, you're going to face this brick, and you're going to think about what caused the goddess Mitzrayim, which was in a certain sense the fractal or the axiomatic exile that's going to be represented in all other exiles. Well, think about that. It was Mechiras Yosef, and the Abarbanel on the Torah explains why Mechiras Yosef was so much a part of the goddess. He says, you need to understand that what looked like what might have been a small rift between brothers was actually seismically the destruction of the Jewish people. That's what's going on over here. So that's what we're supposed to be thinking about, that you, Yechezkel, need to do for you to absorb and appreciate what this prophecy is going on. Very different way of looking at it. It's Yechezkel's personal reaction to this. Finally, the last one, what's the mashal over here? Clearly, as Rashi points out, as all the Mefarshim point out about the Ezekiel bread, what happened over here is when Yechezkel is eating his bread, this is bread which is eaten under duress. It's not well cooked. It's a bread of siege. It's representing Israel when they're under siege, which is what he's doing when he's looking at this brick on his side while he's resting. But think about this for a second. It happens to be as a funny thing. There is an Ezekiel's bread which is on the market and is marketed as a high-end, really cool bread. Well, if they'd read the Psukim very carefully, they'd realize that this is actually the worst kind of bread. This is actually the bread of siege, the bread of confusion, the bread that's not really cooked and is cooked over dung. Terrible. So, you know, it requires a little more careful reading of Nach before marketing your products. But the Malbim points out that this might be actually in the third interpretation of the 390 days, because he points out that if you look at the Babylonian siege of Yerushalayim, there were two stages. First, they came and towards the end of the Hezekiah's rule, and then they left because there was they had a fight off Egypt on the port of Ashkelon, and they came back. And then he does the cheshbon of the months and the days, and it turns out that it's actually 390 days of siege in total from the first period and the second period, which means that this is very basically just representing the siege that Bnei Israel are going to be facing against the Babylonians at that time. Why does he protest? And this we'll close with. Why is Yechezkel so against this? He feels that he's a Kohen, as we know. He served in the Beis HaMikdash according to some before Hashem, before being taken to exile himself. Yechezkel is a very pure person. He says, I can't do this. But the Malbim says it's more than that. The idea of the dung of human beings, the excrement of human beings being the fuel for making this bread, is almost a symbol that the tumah of Bnei Israel is spiritual. They bear such a deep, it's such a deep tumah that it's actually a spiritual tumah, because it represents a human being's excrement. So Yechezkel says, I can't do that. So Hashem says, you know, I'll relent. We're only going to talk about the tumah of the animal, which means to say almost the physical tumah, the physical actions, the indulgences, rather than being a spiritual, ideological, intellectual tumah. Let it talk about being an indulgent, a bodily, physical tumah. And that's what we're going to be talking about over here, which is being punished in this exile. Lots to think about. Certainly a very incredible parak. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.